This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Hold the Pod!
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, Caps fans. Welcome, Hershey Bears fans. How's it going? Welcome to What the Puck. It's a Washington Capitals podcast. Thank you for listening to us. We are available on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, and Google Play Music. Joining me, as always, we got Coach Dan. What's going on, man?
Not too much. How you doing?
You were so excited for your intro. Good to be back. So, coming up later on in the show, we have Kyle Mace from ChocolateHockey.com to get us ready for the Calder Cup Finals and to cheer on the Hershey Bears. But first, let's get some Caps business out of the way. The Capitals have released their preseason schedule. There's already a countdown going on. The Capitals will be opening up the preseason up against the Hurricanes on Monday, September 26th at 7 o'clock.
Talk to those dudes in, completely blank on their name, the dudes in Carolina.
Oh, yeah, right. The Section 328 or...
Yes,
those guys.
Those guys are good. Yeah, we got to chat them up.
We'll bring them on in September.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
So as we are recording right now, that means we have 117 days to go until the Caps are back at Verizon Center.
Oh, my God, that is way too many! That is so many days!
So we'll have plenty to talk about who we'll see in a Caps jersey. But first preseason game at Verizon Center up against the Hurricanes. I mean, these preseason games are pretty much to give, you know, Hershey Bears, some South Carolina Stingrays a look to potentially make the opening night roster. What's something that you kind of look for in a preseason game from players? Is it finesse? Is it who can fight? What do you look for?
I am looking for guys who can keep up the pace and the skill to some extent with the players that you know are going to be in the NHL. I want to see guys that are comfortable doing it. If you see a player that's struggling to keep up, or they're a step too slow, or they're a step behind both physically or mentally, then you know they're not quite ready yet. Now, what I want to ask you is, when does the World Cup of Hockey start? Because I think that is going to throw a very interesting wrinkle into the mix of the preseason and give some guys more time.
Well, that's
some young guys, some Hershey Bears, potential Hershey Bears guys, more time playing at the NHL level because a lot of the bigger name guys are not going to be there.
That's a very interesting question. Let me see what I can find here, because I forgot that there are exhibition games at Verizon Center for Team USA. So that should be around the same time.
Yeah, so I think you're going to see this upcoming preseason. The season hasn't even ended yet. This upcoming preseason, you're going to see guys like Riley Barber, like Jakob Vrana, like Madison Bowie and Christian Jus and Nathan Walker and Chandler Stephenson and a couple of the other guys. You're going to see them get a longer look because they don't have anyone else necessarily to play, because a bunch of their guys, the Caps players and a bunch of their regulars, are going to be off playing in the World Cup of Hockey.
That's very interesting. So the World Cup is going from September 17th to October 1st. So the World Cup is pretty much overlapping the first three games of the preseason.
I don't know how I feel about that.
That is interesting.
Well, wait, say the date. What was it? When did it end? October 7th?
October 1st. It's September 17th through October 1st.
Oh, okay. All right. So that's completely opposite of that of what I said before about the young guys. I guess you'll get a longer look early. That was probably one of the things they talked about when they were negotiating this. You'll see a lot of the young guys earlier on getting a bigger look because, okay, see, I thought it was going a little later.
The Canes, Canadiens against and then the Islanders, those three games are going to be all prospects pretty much.
Yeah, you're going to see a lot. I mean, usually they tend to be more prospects in the earlier game because they haven't been sent down yet, but I think they're going to get even more ice time and an even longer look in those games because you're going to have these big-name players, and with the Capitals, you have a bunch of them that aren't going to be there. And then you may even see guys that stick around a little longer because you potentially – I don't know exactly how a coach would want to do it, but you potentially would have – you don't want to necessarily play them quite as much because they're coming off this tournament towards the end of the preseason. So you don't want to risk the option of a guy getting injured. Then again, he already missed out on three games, so maybe you do want to not rush him back in, but play him a little more so they can catch up to speed, so to speak. So it's going to be interesting what the coaches decide to do with all the teams that have players playing in the World Cup of Hockey. But this is definitely an opportunity for any young guy or a guy who wants to make a name for himself or have an opportunity to, who already kind of has a name like a Jakub Vrána or a Riley Barber, a chance to go into the Caps. I mean, it won't be Barry Trotz because he's going to be with Team Canada. But to show the assistant coaches and the minor league coaches, like, hey, I think you should definitely give me a longer look at the NHL level.
So it looks like Team USA will have exhibition games in D.C. from September 12th through the 15th.
Are these all weekdays?
I don't know.
Hang on, let me look at the calendar.
Yeah. So that's very interesting. They will face Finland on the 13th. They will face Sweden. And Sweden will face Team Europe on the 14th. And
it's Tuesday through Thursday. Is it 13th through 15th? That's Tuesday through Thursday.
Okay.
That's unfortunate.
And then there's
going to be a weekend.
There's going to be practices at Kettler as well for these teams. So that's quite interesting. Man. Hockey's going to start early in D.C. this year.
Yeah, the ice is still going to suck, probably. It's still going to be humid.
But
this may not be the best idea. But I think it would be fun to go to one of those games.
I really want to go to one of those exhibitions.
I think you're going to see more finesse than like hits. Like, it's kind of like the Olympics where you don't really get quite as many hits because guys don't want to get injured. So I think it'll be a lot of fun with a lot of skill, at least for most of the teams. I don't know about team like North America. That one's kind of silly. But our team Europe. But, I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
What's really going to be fun is how cheap tickets will be. Those are my favorite games.
Oh, dude, let's hope so.
So, right now, tickets for the Finland-USA game on Tuesday the 13th are $54 on StubHub.
For where?
For where are you sitting? The game in D.C.
Oh, where are you sitting, dude?
Let me check that out. I'm trying to see how much they are in Toronto, just... for giggles.
I don't care if they're in Toronto. I'm not going to Toronto.
420 section 422 is the cheapest seat.
Oh, that's garbage.
For this exhibition game. If you want to sit low, you're looking at 150, 196.
Yeah. Do you like the same as the Caps game? No, thank you.
I wonder if...
It would be fun to go, but I'm not paying that much for an exhibition game.
Yeah. Speaking of World Cup, though, Matt Niskanen has been added to the Team USA roster. He was not there originally. He's joining TJ Oshie and John Carlson to be a part of Team USA.
No, I thought that was pretty cool. My only concern is that he gets injured, and then we're like, no! Oh, no, what are we going to do? But I think that it's very good for him. I think it's a nice of him to be recognized for his stellar play. I think Niskanen has been a very good player for the Capitals. And it'll be nice to see him out there playing with the USA jersey. I just wish it was a nicer jersey.
Oh, that's right. I had Bell's palsy, and we couldn't talk about how we thought of the jerseys.
Do you want to do that now?
No, I think it's been too long. We'll bring it up in September. No, let's wait until September and talk about it.
All right. Well, I'll tell you right now. All right, the USA ones are... Actually, I don't even know if I'm looking at it real. But the USA have not had a good one in a while.
Yeah. That
Swedes are always the nicest.
I liked Finland. Finland's good. I like Finland's a lot.
Finland's, yeah, theirs are always very classy. North America one looks stupid. Russia's looks good.
Russia got Sweden. In trouble. They got in trouble for this jersey.
Why is that?
Because they had one eagle, and apparently you need to show all four. Otherwise, somebody...
What, was Putin mad?
Somebody's mad.
Oh, no.
I don't know.
Shut up, Vladimir. The USA one. The blue one is garbage. The white one's not bad.
I don't mind the USA one. It's not terrible. I've seen worse.
Are these the Adidas ones?
Yes.
Okay, do you see a patch? Okay, so we were talking about this before. We've gotten way off track. So you remember we were talking about them going over to Adidas, and Adidas always has the piping on the sleeves?
Yes.
With their soccer jerseys or football in Europe? So their new thing with the soccer jerseys or football is the three stripes are now on the side. And I'm wondering if they're going to attempt to do that in the NHL.
That's what they have right here. That's what the USA Hockey.
Yeah, they've done that with my point. Yeah, so like they've done that with the... I'm wondering if they're going to try and carry that up. Remember, next season Adidas is taking over the...
Right.
As maker of all the jerseys. Are they going to... Because every jersey... Like Adidas has all the MLS. So every MLS jersey has the piping on the... I think it's still on the sleeves this season. And then next season they're switching over to the No, they might have been right. They may have already switched over. But like Chelsea in the Premier League, who we were talking with Ryan Drury last week, he's a big Chelsea fan. They have the piping on the sides, and like a bunch of other teams do as well. I'm wondering if they're going to try and do that in the NHL, and I imagine that fans are not going to be happy. Like, if you're a Montreal Canadiens supporter, you do not want that messing. You don't mess with their jersey.
They're not big fans of change.
For the Caps jersey, that would be interesting.
If they would change it up a little bit and make, like, the old-school Caps jerseys, the new ones, and get rid of, like,
with the piping down the side, I'd be happy with that.
I'd be all right with it. We'll see.
All right, well, thank you for listening to Brandon and Dan talk fashion.
High fashion. Hashtag high fashion. Because we were both criticizing each other for both wearing polo shirts to record this podcast.
I got home from work, and I was just like, all right, let's do it. Yeah, that's pretty much all the captions. I mean, Niskanen, he got put on Team USA. Congrats to him. And they announced the preseason. Oh, we never even finished the preseason schedule. I interrupted you, and then we never went forward.
We don't need a breakdown of every
game. I mean, they're playing Carolina twice, and then St. Louis twice, and the Islanders twice, but then they only play Montreal once.
And usually there's a Philadelphia game in there somewhere, but no Philadelphia game this year.
The same thing, I don't see anything about a rookie game either, but that's interesting.
But it could be because of the World Cup and things being changed around for that.
That's true. Yeah, I always found the preseason weird because some teams only play once. Like, why play a team more than once? It's not like these teams can't afford to fly further away. So, like, if you're playing the Islanders, why not one of them against the Rangers? Why not one against the Penguins? Why not one against not the Thrashers? They don't exist anymore. But, you know, someone else. So, I don't know. The preseason's weird to me.
Yeah, and most of them aren't televised. They said they're going to be on WashingtonCapitals.com. I don't know if that means they're going to be a video feed or if just a audio feed. We'll see as it gets closer.
Hey, Brady, you know what is going to be televised, I read?
What's that?
The entirety, I should say, that is the Calder Cup Finals.
Oh, I'm signed up, buddy. If you go to AHLLive.com, you get to watch the Calder Cup Finals for free and stream them on your iPad, iPhone, Android device, computer. You get an access code. You just sign up for it, and you get to watch it for free. That's actually really cool. I'm going to do that.
Yeah, that was a nice thing for you. You don't know to really see that from the NHL.
No. All right, so that is pretty much it for what's going on in Caps world.
And a good segue.
And a good, very good segue, because we're going to talk Calder Cup Finals with Kyle Mace from ChocolateHockey.com next up. But first, here's a word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
What the fuck? What the fuck? He's a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
This is Barry Trotz. You're listening to What the Puck.
Welcome back to What the Puck. Thank you guys for listening. Of course, we've been talking about it all show. The Hershey Bears are in the Calder Cup Finals. Joining us now via Skype from ChocolateHockey.com, we have Kyle Mace. How's it going, buddy?
Really good. How are you?
I'm doing great. You know, if the Caps can't be in the Stanley Cup Finals, I'm happy the Bears can at least be in the Calder Cup Finals. It should be a great series with them against the Lake Erie Monsters. Let me ask you, these two teams have not met at all in the regular season. Is that more of an advantage or disadvantage for the Bears?
You know, I think it's actually a little bit of an advantage. The Bears have gone through two series this year where they really have not seen teams. During the team that they would see in the playoffs, because the Portland Pirates, they played in October and November, so they essentially were going in against a team they never saw before of the first round. And then Toronto, the two times they played them, they were missing about half their team when they played up in Toronto. And the goalie they played against in Hershey was Ray Emery, who went back over to Germany after he was done beating the Bears in Hershey. So they didn't see any of these teams this year, so this is nothing new for them. They're just doing a lot of video prep. But at the same time, Lake Erie did not play Ontario in the regular season, the team they just beat in the Western Conference Finals. So both these teams are coming into a series cold after playing a series cold. So I think game one is going to be a very much feeling out how each team plays probably for the first 40 minutes.
Now, the Bears, they face up against the Baby Pens, and we all heard about how chippy of a series that was, you know, a perfect place for, you know, a guy like Liam O'Brien to really shine. And then they face the Marlies, who have a different playing style. They're more of like a passing team. They use the whole rink. The Hershey Bears, but they seem to play well against both styles. How does playing against such different teams get them ready for a team like the Monsters?
Well, Troy Mann said today at practice that, you know, he's kind of basing the Monsters a little bit more on how the Marlies played. They're a little bit more speed, probably a little bit more gritty than Toronto, but not as gritty as Wilkes-Barre was. But they're going to be a high-scoring team, a high-tempo team, honestly, much like the Marlies last round. Toronto really, I don't think, used their offensive power as much as they probably could have last series. But the Bears' defense right now looks really good, especially even with three rookie defensemen. I think this having this youth on this team has also helped this run go as far as it has been because there's all this energy in these guys left.
So throughout the playoffs, we keep hearing about the stellar play of Justin Peters. Is he the saving grace of the Bears, or is it more a result of the defense playing well in front of him?
I think it's a mix of both. Peters stood on his head in that first series against Portland, and then against Wilkes-Barre, you know, that's when I think the Bears really stepped up their defensive game. You know, you look at the regular season and see Peters' stats, and you go, is this the same Justin Peters that we saw during the regular season, but he just really wasn't there? Well, Peters actually was coming off, I think it was knee surgery or hip surgery coming into this season. So I don't know if he was 100% starting this year off, and he struggled early on. Once you got after the All-Star break, when Dan Ellis heated up, it almost was like, you know, Troy Mann had this 1A and 1B during the regular season where Ellis and Peters would go back and forth in a 3-3 weekend series. It would be Ellis would start Friday, Peters would start Saturday, and Ellis would start Sunday, or the other way around. Now it's just they're going to ride Justin Peters out for the rest of the playoffs. They're going to ride him out this series, but this defensive play is something I haven't seen in a long time. Tyler Lewington is going to be a name Caps fans are going to want to remember. Honestly, right now, probably a little bit more than Madison Bowie. Lewington is paired with Aaron Ness, and I have not seen a play out of a rookie defenseman better than Tyler Lewington this playoffs. Him and Ness are something spectacular play.
It's funny you should mention Bowie, as I had a question about him, is that he got himself in a little bit of trouble lately. What was the fallout from that?
So, game four late, Hershey was losing. They really struggled overall that game. Probably for the first 19 minutes, they looked good, but giving up a goal to William Nylander in the final 30 seconds of the first period just started the beginning of the end of that game. So, Hershey's losing. I think it was 4-0 at that point, and Bowie comes in and delivers a high elbow to Kasperi Kapanen, who's one of the Marlies' top prospects. Kapanen goes down. Bowie gets a 5 in a game for the elbowing, but at the same time, TSN cameras picked him up saying something to Kapanen. People thought it was a slur. I thought he said, "You're fine," or something along those lines, but somebody tweeted out, "Hey, he said a slur," and that just started all the more tweets. The Marlies sent it in, but he got no suspension for it. I think main reasoning on that was he got the 5, he got the game. That kind of was enough for that elbowing. It wasn't really that horrible of an elbow. I've seen a lot more this season that also got suspensions, but I mean, you know, that seemed like it was a frustrated play from a young rookie defenseman. I said in a video I did yesterday, I wasn't really sure if that might have taken him off his game or not in game 5, because he did not stay the shift at all, I don't think, in the third period when Hershey clinched. So it's going to be interesting to see if him coming in this next series, he's going to be able to get his game back to the level that it's been at all season long.
So to go back to Peters, with him being an unrestricted free agent at the end of the season, where do you think he ends up?
I think he's going to get another NHL deal. I don't think he'll be back in Hershey. I think that the plan right now for next year is going to be bringing another veteran guy to work with Vitek Vanacek. Vanacek will probably start maybe 40-some, if not more, games next year for Hershey. He's a really good – I mean, he only played one game this year for the Bears against Wilkes-Barre, final game of the season, and just honestly stood in his head, almost got a shutout. And I think the future is really bright with him, but I think that's who the Caps are going to want in Hershey next year. I wouldn't be shocked to see Peters go overseas to, like, the KHL or somewhere. But right now, I think because of the level of his play, I think he's honestly going to get another NHL deal and probably be in the position he was last year with Holtby, where he'd be a backup for somebody on probably not a full contender, but pretty close to contending.
All right, very cool. Another guy we want to talk about that's a Hershey Bear. He's been making a lot of news for his play, but also the fact that he's an Australian, Nathan Walker. He got the game winner in Game 5 up against the Marlies. He came back from an injury early this season. He's had a great season so far. What are the chances that Nathan Walker makes history and becomes the first Australian to play in the NHL?
I think very high. Out of the guys that are on this team right now that the Capitals are probably looking at, I think it's between him and Chandler Stephenson are going to be the only two guys you see come from this Bears team to play a good majority of their games next year in Washington. Walker has a lot of speed, but he has this very gritty side to him that he would be a very good fourth or third line guy for the Capitals. He's converted himself a little bit to a center this year when Hershey lacked a lot of depth up in the middle. And you know, honestly, I really thought after Scott Gomez came in on a PTO this about midway through the season, he completely changed Nathan Walker's game. Walker is one of those guys that, you know, either he can score a goal or two and get an assist a night for you, or he's going to be a shutdown D guy for you for that night. So he's one of those guys that can swing both ways if you want him to be an offensive forward or you want him to be a defensive forward. I think next year is going to be the year he makes history with the Washington Capitals.
Very interesting. It's a big question mark where a guy like Mike Richards is going to land, if he's going to come back or not. But what you're saying, I mean, Nathan Walker, he can kind of do both sides, like you just said, which is what Mike Richards really lacked this season, what the Capitals wanted. Let me ask you about another former Hershey Bear. What was it like to see Connor Carrick back in Hershey but on the enemy side of the bench this time around?
You know, I've always liked Carrick as a player and as a guy I've had to deal with in the media. Really nice guy, really solid player. But I was shocked this series to see how the Bears only held him to 4 points. Two of those points coming in Game 4, which Hershey just got blown out, and it was the William Nylander show that night. But really, he's still the same player he was in Hershey. I think he'll fit into the Leafs better than he ever would have fit in with the Capitals. He's still that offensive defenseman who's a bit on the smaller side. I honestly, like I said, I didn't see anything out of him that I went, wow, he's a different player since he joined the Leafs. I think his time in the NHL this year helped him maybe get a little bit better on pacing and his tempo and how he plays the game. But it was good to see him back here. I think you'll see him in Toronto with the Leafs next year. If not, he does have to come through waivers next year due to his contract. If he gets, I think he's a restricted free agent. If he signs back with the Leafs, and he'll have to come through waivers. So I think that they'll probably keep him up in the big club next year. But happy to see him doing well with that organization.
So I can't think of a better way to put this. I hope it doesn't come off as an insult or anything like that. But as a fan of an AHL team, though we all are fans of an AHL team, we're all Bears fans here, how does it feel when an NHL club trades one of your players midseason? Do you feel like it's disruptive to the team, or do they all sort of expect it? And how do fans handle that sort of situation?
You know, I think most AHL organizations, a majority of their fans are going to be fans of their NHL affiliate. Look at Wilkes-Barre. I'd say 95% of their fans are probably Penguins fans. Look at Lehigh Valley. I'd say probably 95% of their fans are Flyers fans. Hershey, I'd say probably 35% are Caps fans, 30% are Penguins fans, 30% are Flyers fans, and the rest are just a bunch of other teams, Bruins, Red Wings, Blackhawks. Honestly, because how many different teams have come through Hershey in terms of affiliations over their 78 years of existence, people have this allegiance to the Capitals, but they also have the allegiance when the Flyers were here and when the Penguins were here. So when Carrick gets traded and people who are Bears fans before anything else are pissed at the Caps more than anything else. They're like, we want nothing to do with the Caps ever again. We don't want their affiliation anymore. We want to be with the Penguins. We want to be with the Devils. We want to be with the Bruins. We want to be with somebody. But there are people who were with the Caps fans who are also Bears fans that go, okay, we want to see the Caps win a Stanley Cup. We want to see our guys do well. we understand that this is still a minor league organization and they're developing players. It makes sense. I think it does have that little bit of disruption in terms of on the ice that, you know, you're trying to readjust. That same week, the Bears also lost Paul Carey to a shoulder injury, and Scott Gomez got an NHL deal with the Senators. So it was a tough week for the Bears, and I think that also kind of added fuel to the fire to Bears fans going, we never want to see the Caps again. But I think that's sometimes the normal reaction when you see one of your top players leave your AHL team if you're an AHL fan before you're an NHL fan.
So on that, do you think that there are any Bears players that you feel can make the Caps lineup next season? Not be one of the guys that's a healthy scratch on most nights, but actually make the lineup?
I would say Stevenson has the best chance.
Where do you see him fitting in?
I see him fitting in where maybe Richards was. You know, he has NHL speed. He has NHL vision. He's been dealing with he was having a lower body injury in the Wilkes-Barre series. He's had concussions over the last couple years that he's struggled with. But he skated first line minutes and he's now skating third line minutes. So he's adjusting to kind of going back and forth. He hasn't really found his role in Hershey, to be completely honest, but I think he would have the best chance to make the Caps and be an everyday player with them. That being said, I don't know the Caps' needs, what they need right now in terms of spots and where the guys might fit in, and that's where I think it really becomes a little bit of a gray area because, you know, they have all these prospects, but some of them are still 2-3 years away from really getting a good look at the NHL. I don't think Vrana's going to get a full look at the NHL next year. I don't think Bally's going to get a full look for maybe a year or two. Barber, Boyd, Juice, Lewington, you can go down these list of guys. And honestly, right now, I think the only two that are remotely ready for the NHL are Stevenson and Walker. Stevenson probably the most ready. Walker probably would be closer to a midway throughout the year call-up. But then again, also you look at Stan Gallia of this past year who sat for the majority of the games when he could have been playing top-line minutes in Hershey. So I think it's just going to – I think we have to wait to see what the Caps want to do this offseason, who they sign, if they want to bring up Stevenson and go, okay, this is the guy we want to fill this role. I think we'll have to probably wait till training camp to really get a better answer on that.
All right, so we got the Calder Cup Finals coming up. They start on June 1st. I noticed on Game 3 and 4, there's a really big break. Game 3 is on Monday. Game 4 isn't until that Saturday. How have the Bears done with long stretches of time in between games?
I think they've done well. This is the funny thing. I was looking at this. So they're going to have about 67 hours from once they got off the bus to puck drop between the Toronto and the Lake Erie series. There's going to be more time between Game 3 and Game 4 than they had between these game 5 and Game 1 of the finals. So it's one of the biggest stretches they've had in the playoffs. I think they might do well. I mean, honestly, I don't know what to say because they haven't had a stretch like this. I think it's going to be nice. They are going to go out to Cleveland for Game 3 and come right back home. So they're going to be practicing at Giant Center for the rest of the week. They're not going to stay out there for 4 days. They're not going to be in a hotel. They're going to be back in their own beds. They're going to be working out in Hershey. So I think that's going to be a little nice. You know, we're all at the mercy of LeBron James here because, you know, if there's a little bit of condensation on the court at a Cavs game and he slips and falls, that's the end of that, and we're never seeing an AHL team in Cleveland again. But I think it could be beneficial, especially if the Bears can use this home ice to their advantage and go up 2-0 again against a tough Marlies team that's really going to use their home ice to advantage as well.
All right, tell us about ChocolateHockey.com. What's it all about?
So ChocolateHockey.com has been a site that I've had for about 6 years now. It used to be a lot bigger with the amount of people. We used to have up to 4 people working on the site at a time. Now it's only myself. I tweet every game on our Twitter, Chalk Hockey. Most nights I'm able to get photos up on our Instagram and our website. But I'm trying to do a little bit more featurey kind of stuff here. I try and find the stuff that you normally wouldn't see from like a newspaper or from the Bears and getting to kind of know the off-ice personalities of these players a little bit better. I had Jacob Vrana and Jonas Siegenthaler play FIFA 16 together, where Vrana lost his mind when he finally scored a golden goal. And I find other little things like Riley Barber and Nathan Walker were born actually on the exact same day. I think it's February 22nd, 1992 they were both born on. So I did a whole story on how their lives went to come to this one point where that same week they were skating on the exact same line together. So stuff like that compared to what you would see like normal game recaps and like call up news from newspapers. I try and do something a little bit different.
Well, that's great. I absolutely love going to chocolatehockey.com. It definitely keeps us all updated about what's going on in Hershey. Great photography, by the way. Absolutely love some of the shots you get. Yeah, you do a great job. So I think that's pretty much it for this interview. Kyle Mace from chocolatehockey.com, thanks for joining us.
Thank you guys so much.
Thanks, man.
All right, welcome back to the show. Big thank you again to Kyle Mace from ChocolateHockey.com. Make sure you give him a follow on Twitter, like him on Instagram, check out ChocolateHockey.com for all the Bears information. Really cool stuff he's doing over there. Great photos, great articles, and we got the Calder Cup Finals to look forward to, so definitely check him out there. Now we're going to go around the NHL. Coach Dan, tell us about those Penguins.
Well, start in St. Louis first.
Good.
They signed head coach Ken Hitchcock to a one-year extension. Now, TSN is reporting that Hitchcock has said he will retire after next season. So he's got one more year, and then they're going to go and have to find a new head coach. Hitchcock was joking that he may go into the media, but, I mean, he's in his 60s, so I have to imagine. He said he doesn't really necessarily have the effort for doing it after next season. And going into the Stanley Cup Finals, the Penguins were able to beat Tampa Bay in 7 games. The Sharks knocked out St. Louis. And currently, those SOBs from Pennsylvania are up 1-0 in the Stanley Cup Finals over the St. Louis Sharks. And you have Joel Ward, who I believe scored 2 goals to knock out St. Louis. And he had a nice little hug with Troy Brower in the line. Mm-hmm. But Joel Ward and... the Sharks are down 1-0 to Eric Fair and the Penguins.
And Steven Alexi.
He's not playing. That will be the. Is he playing? I don't think so.
He's with them. He's got the picture of him with the trophy.
Yeah. He's wearing a suit to the games.
He is.
He's got a real nice seat and some popcorn.
But he's not paying $50 for a seat.
No, he's not. No, I mean the one good thing to come from this, if the Penguins do indeed win the Cup again, is that Eric Fair will have the opportunity to lift the Stanley Cup. That I am okay with.
That means Eric Fair and Jeff Schultz both have a cup before
Ovechkin.
No.
Fair actually played. Schultz didn't do S.
He still got a day with it. He took it on a pool date. That's what he did.
Yeah, well, it probably took him half the day to get it out of his house because he's so freaking slow.
Damn. All right. Well, like,
but yeah, that's pretty much it in the NHL this week. I mean, Hitchcock's coming back for another year. St. Louis, that's going to be an interesting situation to see who they go try and go out and bring in after next season. Do they go for a guy who's going to be like Hitchcock and be more of like a, not Iron Mike Keenan, but like, you know, he's much more defensive minded and that kind of style of hockey? Or are they going to go for someone, not Boudreau, because Boudreau said he's done if he doesn't work out in Minnesota, but someone who's a little more offensive minded? It'll be interesting to see what John Davidson does with the St. Louis Blues.
Yeah. All right, guys, that's pretty much it for the show this week. If you want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. All you got to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. You can also occasionally find me, and well, not lately, but you know, eventually, maybe someday, at CapitalsOutsider.com. This is a Caps fan-run website devoted to the Washington Capitals and their bobbleheads, of which, Brandon, do you think that the Capitals will have any decent bobblehead giveaways next season?
No, I do not.
Do they have any this season?
No, they had a Holt Beast. We've been over this a zillion times.
That sucks. No. Do they have a bobblehead, not the Holt Beast?
No.
Didn't they have one?
No.
No?
There was.
They always have one at the Inova Blood Drive.
Right, yeah, that doesn't really count, though. It's not the game. They had a Holt Beast, and they had a Kuzi whose arm, like, got dislocated.
Ah, the Kuznetsov was what I was thinking of, but that wasn't a bobblehead.
And okay. It also wasn't Kuznetsov, but whatever.
It's still better than Holtby's thing.
those Hershey Bear snow globes are still on eBay, by the way.
Oh, the Nathan Walker?
There's one left. One guy.
How
has
much?
$12.50 was the bid I saw earlier.
No kidding. That's not bad.
Yeah, not terrible. Not terrible.
That other dude should have sold to me for that much. I'm sure. But Brandon.
Yeah.
We've gone completely off track. What about Brando Cash Entertainment?
That's right. Go to BrandoCash.com. Get all the information you're ever going to need about Brando Cash Entertainment. Facebook.com/BrandoCash as well as Facebook.com/WTP Podcast. Follow the show on Twitter at WTP_podcast. That's where you get all the information you're ever going to need. Whenever a new show comes out, you will be the first to know. All right, guys, since we talked about it and since the AHL is offering the AHL live packet for the Calder Cup Finals for free, I'm going to go over the Hershey Bears schedule for the finals. So game one is at Hershey. That is on June 1st at 7 o'clock. Game two, still at Hershey at the Giant Center, June 3rd, 7 o'clock. Game three is at Lake Erie, June 6th, 7 o'clock. Game four at Lake Erie, June 11th. 7 o'clock. And if necessary, Game 5 at Lake Erie, June 12th, 6 o'clock. Game 6 at Hershey, June 14th, 7 o'clock start. Game 7 at Hershey, June 17th, 7 o'clock. Should be a good series against these two great teams. Now, guys, we do this show for free. You listen, you stream, and you download for free on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, and Google Play Music. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit and Snapchat and Periscope, anywhere you are social on with your phone, on the web, whatever. Say, I'm a Washington Capitals fan. I'm still rooting on the Hershey Bears, and I'm listening to What the Puck. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. Kyle Mace, ChocolateHockey.com. Thank you again for joining us. Everybody, let's switch it up this week. Say it loud, say it proud. B-E-A-R-S, Bears, 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 Bears.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman, voiceover by Sarah Jax. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, Caps fans. Welcome, Hershey Bears fans. How's it going? Welcome to What the Puck. It's a Washington Capitals podcast where we talk anything. Nope. I'm doing the wrong intro. That's what I just did. I was doing the call. Yep.
It's not the first time this has happened.
And I'm like, where we talk anything and everything, Baltimore. Nope. Wrong one.
Keep going. We'll go with this one. You can plug both shows.
All right.